Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up tomorrow, a call-in on your household spending. We talked earlier about government spending. Deyanira Del Rio will be back to take your calls about your household budgets. Remember, we've been asking you to make a record of everything you've spent for the last week and call with any questions that you've developed after going through that exercise. And Deyanira Del Rio will be back. She's been coming on every week for the month of January. Tomorrow is the last one, and it should be good on your household budget questions tomorrow on The Brian Lehrer Show. Well, the troubles in Haiti didn't begin with last year's earthquake, their recent presidential election, or even the return of baby doc Jean-Claude Duvalier. And despite a complex history and widespread poverty, one area thriving on this island nation are the voices rising above the rubble. One such voice is Haitian-born author and National Book Award finalist Edwidge Dunica. Her previous work includes Breath, Eyes, Memory, an Oprah Book Club selection, and her latest anthology, Haiti Noir, is a collection of short fiction. She will be sharing her latest work at the Brooklyn Public Library tonight at 7 o'clock. There's something to do on a snow day. It'll be clear enough by then. Canceled? Canceled. Edwidge just told me it's canceled. She's given me that. You know that how you wave your open palm in front of your neck? Canceled. Okay. Rescheduled? Or do you know? You can say.
Well, we don't have a date yet, but it will be rescheduled.
It will be rescheduled. Yeah. Okay. So we are here to tell you that Edwidge Dunica's Haiti Noir Evening at the Brooklyn Public Library tonight has been canceled, but rescheduled, but not her appearance on our program. She has braved the snow to come to our studio in person, and I'm so glad. Welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Share with me a little more about the title, Haiti Noir.
Well, Haiti Noir is part of the Akashic Books Noir series. They have Miami Noir, New York Noir, and usually it's set, it's a series of noir stories of the sort of mystery of detective type set in a particular city. In our case, it's in the country throughout different areas of the country. And it often involves solving a crime or some dark elements of the society. And when I was asked to edit this one, I was thrilled because there's so many possibilities for stories of mystery in Haiti, traditional mystery, but also a particular homegrown types of mystery. So it was all the stories. We have different writers, 18 writers, some who live in Haiti, some who live in the Haitian diaspora, and two American writers, Mark Kurlinski and Madison Smart Bell.
Most of the stories are written in English, but a couple have been translated from the French. Give me an example. You have 18 authors who, as you say, either live in Haiti or have connections to the country. How'd you decide which stories to include? And give our listeners an example of one Haiti noir plotline.
Well, Haiti, a lot of listeners may not be aware of this, but Haiti has a very vibrant and thriving literature. So some of the writers who are in Haiti who wrote their stories in French that we translated are some of Haiti's most famous writers, like Guy Victor, whose story The Finger was translated from the French and is in this book, is one of the most read writers in Haiti. And his story is about a crime in which a finger is dislodged because there is a very important piece of jewelry on it, and then that becomes a nightmare for the thief. I won't give away the whole plot of the story. And we have another story by Josepha Aubert-Large, which is called Rosanna. And Josepha is an interesting case of someone who he writes in English and French and in Creole. And his story is about a kidnapping, which has become a very common concern of Haitian life of late. And we have also younger writers, Haitian-American writers, and even writers in Haiti who are just publishing for the first time in this book. So it's, in a way, it's a very interesting read, I think, to introduce American writers to some Haitian writers, but it's a cross-generational and cross-migration conversation among these writers themselves.
Are there particularly Haitian themes that emerge in these stories when we think of noir? You know, they are the kinds of mysteries that you were laying out before, but they can be, you know, placed within a culture and a place and time, or they can be kind of disconnected from one and be sort of an any time, any place noir story. Do these have particularly Haitian flavors?
Oh, yeah, certainly. I think there is as one of our contributors said, Joseph, I said, there's always, you know, in Haiti, when you have even a famous crime, in which, you know, in case you had the very famous radio journalist Jean-Dominique, for example, when he was assassinated, we always hear this phrase from the authorities: "L'enquête continue." You know, the investigation continues, and it's that very rare crime that gets solved. So you have that particular frustration worked in a lot of the stories. You have elements of voodoo. You have just it has a very Haitian flavor. And what's amazing, great about these stories is that often when stories are written about Haiti of this type, we're sort of the boogeyman, the mysterious element. And then these stories, because they're written by people from within the culture, you get some more nuance, both in the element of the sort of the dark element and the light elements. And there's sort of a more of a gray or nuance in the middle.
You mentioned Mark Kurlansky, a non-Haitian American writer known for nonfiction, but who as a newspaper reporter covered Haiti and elsewhere in the Caribbean for nearly a decade, part of this anthology. Why did you include Mark Kurlansky?
Well, I wanted to have these different voices, as I mentioned, in conversation. And Mark Kurlansky and Madison Smart Bell have been writing about Haiti for a very long time. And I just thought it was interesting to sort of add them to the pie.
And what's his story?
Well, his story is a story called The Leopard of Timor, and it's about sort of a very glamorous woman who keeps a leopard, and the leopard as a sort of also a double meaning, as a sort of a mysterious beast in this community. And a man whose name is Izzy Goldstein, who believes himself to be, who wants to be a Haitian, who's a sort of a kind of a Haitian Jew, if you will.
Sounds like fun. Three of the 18 stories deal with the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide only that many, or why did you decide to include any?
Well, you know, we had been working on the book for about a year before the earthquake happened, and most of the stories were already collected. And so after the earthquake, it just seemed like it would be important to add some stories that involve the new realities. But all of these stories, I think, as a lot of Haitian literature now, older literature, sort of has this echo of the earthquake, because you cannot look back at the old landscape without thinking of this new revised landscape of Port-au-Prince and the surrounding areas since the earthquake.
The writer Edwidge Dunnicott, my guest on WNYC. Her new anthology, Haiti Noir, a collection of short fiction, part of the Akashic Noir series, books of noir, detective, and other kinds of stories like that set in various places. This anthology set in Haiti, mostly Haitian writers. Do you have a story in there yourself?
I do have a story in there. It's called Claire of the Sea Light, and it's about a father who has to give up his daughter, who chooses actually to give up his daughter, and it deals with this issue of reste avec, children in Haiti, you know, children given to child servitude in Haiti.
Let me get your take real quick in our last few minutes on some of the news coming out of Haiti. Today, we have the ruling party pulling back its candidate, Jude Celestin, from the presidential runoff vote. And, of course, there was the election in the fall, still no president, and at this crucial time for Haiti. What are your thoughts about this, if the opposition candidate now is going to stand against Merlan Monnigat, former first lady?
Well, I mean, if he's pulling out Jude Celestin, that will leave Michel Martelly, who's the former well, probably still singer, and Milan Maniga.
So Haiti will have its first woman leader?
Or its first compa singer. We'll have to see. It's a fortune bargain, you know, either way. It's not, I think people want to get out of the sort of the quagmire that sort of the stuck place that we're in, but I don't see any sort of clear winners in any of this for anybody.
What's your take on baby Dr. Valier returning to Haiti right in the midst of all this? Was he angling for power? Was he angling to get his money out when he really should be paying back the money that he stole from Haiti once upon a time? But the New York Times had a report that he was there because there's some kind of legal deadline to get some other of his money out, and he had to go to Haiti to do it. Do you have a clue?
Well, my feeling is that it has to do with the money. I don't think he's suddenly become a huge humanitarian. And they've admitted, sort of his high-powered American advisors, the former Congressman Bob Barr, that he wants the money, but that he would give it to the people. But he had much more money in the past that he never gave back to the people. So, I mean, I think it's shocking that he thought that he could come in and out without any impunity. And I'm glad that there are some very brave voices, including the radio journalist Michel Montas and Liliane Pierre-Paul, who came out and spoke against him. It's very sad that there's so little memory that there were young people cheering for this sort of brutal, the heir of this brutal, brutal regime that where so many people were killed.
Former Congressman Bob Barr is advising baby Doc?
He is indeed.
He's, what is he thinking?
He's thinking dollars, is my guess.
Oh, he's in it as a lawyer?
I would imagine. I don't think it's a pro bono humanitarian job.
I guess not. Well, we have a minute left. You know, we've been talking about adult snow days through the show. You grew up in Brooklyn as a preteen, so you have some experience with New York weather, not just Haitian weather, but you've since moved back to warmer climes in Miami. What would you do for an adult snow day?
Oh, I would read, Brian, of course. I would read all day. I'm like, I crave those reading days, so I would read. Go, you guys, read.
That's wonderful. And let's see, Marta writes on her page that she is baking bread. Maybe she'll break bread with somebody, too. She'll catch a matinee. Laura is reading. She says she's reading Paradise Lost.
There you go.
And finally, Dano in Kearney says, I'm sitting comfortably on the sun porch with a hot coffee, looking out the window, watching my wife use the new snowblower I got her for Christmas. And he writes, oh, I love that girl.
That's very romantic.
So we hope
the wife and the snowblower.
Yes.
I love it.
I love that girl. We hope he's talking about the wife and not the snowblower. But Edwidge Dunnicott eventually will be rescheduled at the Brooklyn Public Library for the event that was supposed to be held tonight, canceled because of the snow, around her new anthology, Haiti Noir. So great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, and Paige Cowett produced this program with Alan Smith and Sandra Booker. It's a Free Country editor, Anna Sale. Our senior producer is Megan Ryan. Is that Debbie Fountain at the audio controls? It is. Happy snow day, everybody. I'm Brian Lehrer.